Good evening. Welcome. If you have been welcomed tonight. I just wanted to first start off by, I know Jen talked about some of the other stuff going on here, but it's great just to mention it again. It's great to be part of a church at the moment that we've got five communities or congregations going. It's really cool to acknowledge that and to be part of that. I mean, yeah, the 9:30 service in the morning, the mise en chin in the afternoon, then we've got this service here in the evening, and then we've got Wednesday services that start up about a bit over a month ago, 12 o'clock on a Wednesday every week, and they have lunch afterwards. And then we've got Messy Church last night, which dragged my kids along to, and I can tell you I had more fun than my kids did, I think. I was making these little poppers, and great fun. And so it's great to be part of a community that is so vibrant like that at the moment. And I do say, if you have got a chance to get along to any one of those other things coming up, please do, because it's great to see God at work in so many different ways. And sometimes we get stuck in our own little space. We think, oh, God's the only working in that little space there. But in this community, and they're just the services that are happening, let alone Northwinger Care, let alone things happening at Norwood, let alone other stuff going on, it's great to be a community that happens like that. And so, yeah, so it's good every once in a while just to stop and have a look at that. Let's open up in prayer. Hey, Jesus, we want to thank you for being in our lives. We want to thank you for today. Whatever has gone on previously today, whether our mind has been on you or whether it hasn't there, Lord. Thank you for this service. Thank you that we can come together and tonight share a meal and share communion with each other and share fellowship with you. Continue to open our hearts to the music, to the fellowship, and what you have to say through me tonight. We thank you for this in your wonderful name. Amen. So as Matt said, we're going through the book of Ephesians, well, at least the first half of it. And we've titled this series the I Am series. And looking at God's claims of who we are and who we find ourselves in God. And so we've titled this one, I Am Appreciated. And how good does it feel to get appreciation every once in a while? We have those nice statements that people say about you or friends or family or a little note that you might have picked up ages ago. It's good to find appreciation. And I'm going to show you some of these notes that got from primary school kids to primary school teachers. So it says the first one, Dear Rachel, you are my second best teacher ever. I'd still be happy if I got that. Like, let me be honest. I'd still be happy with that. I don't know who the first one was, but the second one, being the second, not too bad. But I hope you get lots of presents and have a Merry Christmas. And in the corner it says, and you are fat. So we all show appreciation in different ways. Dear Mrs. Storr, you are the best music teacher ever because my last music teacher choked a boy. Love your student. Dear Mrs. Clark, I hope I heard that you weren't feeling good. Well, when that happens, here's a little trick to learn. Just go poop. I'm not kidding. It works every time I'm feeling bad. So try and remember, when you feel bad, the first thing to do is poop. Again, a little kid appreciating the work in his head. And I don't know the pictures there. I'm not too sure, but there we go. And the last one. You were the best teacher a student could ever have. I love my class too. I'm sad that I'm going into second grade. If I had a choice between you getting killed and my favourite tree getting chopped down, I would choose my favourite tree getting chopped down. So again, we show appreciation in different ways, and these are just some of the ways that little kids show appreciation to adults and parents and things like that. We all love appreciation.
You're doing great.
There we go. We all love how we get appreciated. And from time to time, we lack appreciation. We feel it in our times. We wish, we want to be appreciated for some of the things we do. Now, in our family, Beth, my 8-year-old daughter, one of her jobs is to unpack the dishwasher. And we all had these little chores growing up. And so there was one occasion when I had asked Beth 5 times, go unpack the dishwasher. Now, to be honest, I probably did that
when I was young as well, probably not only five times, but like 7 or 8 or 10 times, but I'd asked her 5 times. And so eventually she got started. But in the middle of what she was doing, she wanted appreciation for the job she had started. She was doing everything. She was making lots of loud noise, getting the things out of there. And every 2 seconds, she'd ask me a question saying, where does this cup go? Or where does this plate go? Or where does this knife go? And she knew very well where everything went. So she was looking to be recognized for what she was doing. So I was in the back room folding some clothes and washing. The one time I did it, I was folding the clothes of this, and Beth had finished what she was doing, as in packing up the dishwasher. And she came in, and again, she wanted to be recognised for what she had done. And me, seeing that, I thought I'd be the interesting parent that I am, you know, that, okay, let's see how far she go to get recognition. So she came in and poked her head into where I was, and I'm folding the dishes, and I didn't acknowledge her. I kept on folding the clothes, and anyway, like that. And so she said, Dad, I've finished doing the dishes. And I just nodded and kept on folding the clothes. As she got up closer, virtually right next to me, said, Dad, I'm finished putting the dishes away. And I said, okay, that's good. And this is where Beth was getting a little bit more serious. She stopped me. Almost in tears, she said, Dad, don't you even care about me? I've finished the dishes. I've finished what you've done to me, what have you asked me to do? And I still thought, okay, now it's a little bit more serious. I said, that's great, Beth, thank you. But I think you haven't put all the dishes away. I think there's one in the pantry still there. And she goes, what? And she's really getting upset now. She's really getting upset. I said, what? What are you talking about? It's all away. What are you talking about? I've done what you've asked. I said, wait. There's one in the pantry you haven't done. Almost in tears at this point. So she walks to the pantry and she opens up the door, and beforehand I put a little Freddo frog on the plate on there for her. And so this turn of, she recognised she was getting appreciated for what she had done. She turned that around, and it's an easy way to get cuddles on my daughter, to give her chocolate. So I got a big cuddle and that was it. And so she gave me a big hug. So there are times in our lives where we want to be appreciated. And we want to feel the appreciation of others. There are some times in our lives when we feel unappreciated, when we feel like we've been doing lots of things, but we just feel lost and lonely. See, the definition of appreciation is recognition and enjoyment of the good qualities of something or someone. It seems so often in our own lives, we are left floundering, and looking for appreciation in different areas. So today's text, we've called I Am Appreciated, and we're looking at how God appreciates us and how Paul was appreciating the work of the Ephesians. And so some gems in there that we need to pick up on for our day-to-day life. So I'm going to read it here, and it's up there. It says, from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in our prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and is incomparably great power for us who believe. But this power is the same as the mighty strength, great power that for us who believe. No, I'm reading off the screen for the first time here, so I was going to be back here. So I'm going to read it from here. So far above any rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God be placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head of everything for our church, for which his body, the fullness of him, who fulfills everything in every way. So there are times in our lives when we are too hard on ourselves. There are times in our lives when we look at ourselves and look at the things that we are doing and we think, oh, we need to improve on this. We need to be better on that. And we don't realise how far we've come. See, we are far more likely to look at the negative things in our lives than we do the positive things. See, when was the last time you took a moment out of your lives and thought, hey, I did really good last week? Or, I'm really proud of what I did there. If you're anything like me, it happens very rarely. And when it does happen, you're very quick to put some negative thoughts in there. It's like, oh, I did this good, but you know, I stuffed up here. Or I messed up here. And so when we also receive compliments, we sometimes assess why they're giving us compliments. I think, is there an alternative motive to that? Or are they what actually they're saying really true? See, I spend a lot of my time as a chaplain. When I'm telling someone what someone good they've done or some good qualities about themselves, they're always saying, no, no, you have to say that. You have to say that because you're a chaplain, because you're a nice guy. And I have to tell them, I said, hey, look, there's nothing in my contract to say I have to give 20 compliments out a day. There's nothing to say I have to say good things about you. There's nothing that says that. I see those good things in you. And so when we receive a compliment or when we try and think good things what happened to us or how good we are, quite often we dismiss them and put negative things in our lives. We are just too hard on ourselves. We have to stop sometimes and actually look at the good things that we have done. So we have done so much. We have achieved so much. We have overcome so much. God looks down on us. God looks down on you with great delight. He's so proud of who you are. He's so proud of who we are. He doesn't look at the holes in our lives thinking, oh, you need to be filled up with that. He also looks at the stuff you've done and says how great you are. This is what Paul is doing today. See, Paul starts off this by saying, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in Jesus and for your love of God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. See, even that alone, do you have faith in God? Do you believe in Jesus? In today's world, where there's so many other religions and so many different options, and there's so many people out there that don't believe in God, God rewards that faithfulness. God sits back and says, hey, you're a child of God. I love you for that. Not only that, but I hear so many stories of you guys going out there and telling other people about Jesus. I hear about so many other stories of you going out and talking and doing God's work in our community. We had many people volunteer last night at Messy Church. Stop and think how God feels about that. That is what Paul is doing to the people of Ephesus here. He's saying, hey, you guys are people of great faith. You guys are people that love God lots, and I want to thank you for that. So whatever type of day you've had, whatever you've experienced today, whether it's been good or bad, be known tonight that God loves you for who you are and what you've done. And so that's what Paul is doing here. And for me, I'm in a lucky position as a youth worker here that I can talk about you guys to other people. When I talk to other youth pastors and other youth workers and say, look, you know, how's your church going? I say, great, we're doing this, we're doing that. You know, we've got people serving in this way. That's great. And so I get to live out what Paul is saying. I get to do that. But how often do we do that to ourselves? See, Jesus and God appreciates us. Jesus lives inside our hearts. You are loving people. That means that God's faithful people can receive encouragement and thankfulness from Jesus. Even if you don't receive it from other people, the Bible tells us that God loves us for who we are. See, we don't want to get into any theological debate over where our capabilities start and where work stops and when God begins or anything like that. There are some people that can't see themselves as a person of God because they just see themselves as God working through them, so that has nothing to do with them. It has all things to do with God. But at the same time,
God is in us. God has made us in his image. See, God regularly chooses to work through people with the gifts and talents that he's given them. And so when God chooses to work through you, he sees something in you that he can use. And he sees the obedience in you. He sees the faithfulness in you that you can do that. See, God is glorified when we praise him. But he also praises us for the things we do. In verses 19 to 21, it talks about God being omniscient. And God talks about God being all-knowing and all-powerful. But so often, we see that as a bad thing. So often we say, oh, God saw us take the last cookie out of the cookie jar. Or God saw us do something else. But it's not always that. If he's seeing that sort of stuff, he's also seeing the good things that we do. There's a story out of New Zealand. There's a town in New Zealand leading up to a Christmas a couple of years back where they had an idea where they thought, oh, we're going to reward good driving. And so the local police, in that town, struck up a deal with a local poultry farm. And they said that they'll give out turkey vouchers. So they give you a voucher for a turkey, you can go take it to their store and you get a free turkey. And so the idea is what, if a policeman would be given a certain amount of vouchers each day, and so if they saw you doing a good driving, letting people in, being courteous, they would pull you over and give you a turkey voucher. It wasn't as quite well as they thought it was going to go, because quite often a lot of the police women and police men complain that their first confrontation with them was quite confrontational, because what had happened, the people were, as soon as they got pulled over, that some people started complaining, said, why did you pull me over for? I wasn't doing anything wrong. What was I doing? You know, why are you pulling me over for? And I said, well, we're just acknowledging good driving and we want to give you something for it. So even though there was billboards saying about this promotion, even though it was on the radio saying about what was going to happen, their initial thought was, I'm getting pulled over because I've done something wrong. Not because I've been doing something well. And it's very rare that police pull you over for doing something well, but I can recognise that. But it does illustrate the point that quite often in our lives, we often think that something bad is going to happen to us. We think negatively before we think something good is going to happen. See, from that point, God is omniscient. And he thinks that we do good things just as well as he thinks we do bad things. See, in verse 17 and 19, Paul urges people to see themselves how God sees them. He says, I keep on asking that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. God wants us to see him and to see ourselves the way that he sees us. He knows that we sometimes see him ourselves the way that we don't. And so, for those who here weren't here last week and who didn't catch Carto's message, those who were, remember back to the start of it. In the first couple of verses there, God made some great statements of who we are. And Matt recounted that. He said some of the things from that. He says, we are God's creation. We are God's children. We are heirs to the throne. We are all that sort of stuff. Go back and listen to the first, or to Carto's message, and in those first couple of statements, we realise what we are. See, if we are in Christ, we need to remember that we are appreciated by God. Does anyone remember Jesus' baptism, what happened there? Where is it found in Matthew? Chapter 3, there we go. And because I put that up there is because what happens in the first couple of chapters? Who knows what happens in the first couple of chapters of Matthew? Yep. So chapter 1 and chapter 2 is all about Jesus' birth, then it jumps forward till he's about to get baptized. So it's like one of those TV moments where it says a couple of years later, and it just immediately jumps into that spot. 30 years later, it jumps into that spot. And so this is before Matthew recounts that Jesus has done anything.
And it says that as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am very pleased." So before Jesus had done any sort of ministry, or before Matthew recounts any of that sort of stuff, Jesus gets baptized. And he doesn't say down and says, "Look, I'm pleased with you, now go do work." Or he doesn't say, "Here's my Son, but now you're going to do heal many people." He just says, "At that moment, right very now, I love you and I'm pleased with you." Jesus does that to us. He appreciates where we are right now. Paul gives glory to the people of God and gives thanks to the people of Ephesus. As Christians, we should be doing these things for God. But we should also be showing appreciation for those other people around us. As I said, we live in one of those worlds that doesn't show appreciation to other people, or very rarely does. As Christians, we've got a chance to do that. We've got an opportunity to show appreciation to other people. Just as God shows us appreciation, we have an opportunity to show others appreciation. See, when was the last time that you told the people around you how much you appreciated them? Again, this is something that I sometimes fall short on as well, because we're so focused on our own world that we very rarely do that. And not just for the things they do, but the people of who they are. And there's a final point with this. We have to remember that people are praying for you. Paul was praying for the people of Ephesus. Just as Paul was praying for them, we have people that pray for us. There are people that are praying for you right now. There are people within this church that pray for people all the time. I enjoy praying for you guys and us as an evening congregation. I sometimes mention some of you guys by name. And so it's a great opportunity that we can pray for other people. And there's been so many times in my life outside of church where I've been able to pray for other people. People have asked for prayer. So that is one thing that Paul teaches us that we can do, is pray for other people. I want to show a little video on what prayer can do for other people. It's a situation out of America, and I'll wrap it up after we see this video.
A photo of a little girl praying with a group of police officers has been touching hearts around the country.
I always pray for people police officers, because I know they have a rough time sometimes, and sometimes a little prayer can make someone's day. So I decided to do that just in case they were having a rough day.
8-year-old Paige Vasquez says when she saw the officers eating at a restaurant in San Antonio, Texas, she wanted to offer them a blessing. The moment was shared on Facebook.
I asked them, "Hello, officers, may I please pray for y'all?" And they said, "Yeah, sure." They seemed like surprised. And I asked them, and they're like, "Sure." So I guess they were confused and surprised at the same time.
But the officers were moved by the act of kindness. They were still mourning the loss of a fellow officer, Miguel Moreno, who was shot and killed in the line of duty last month.
Actually, one of the mothers of the officers that was sitting at the table actually messaged me recently, right now, maybe about an hour ago on Facebook. And she said that her son went home and he was very moved by what she said, and he couldn't get over it.
Paige says she isn't shy about asking someone if she can pray with them, because it just might be exactly what they need at that moment.
You should always pray for someone no matter what. Even don't be afraid to talk about Jesus, because it might just brighten someone's day and someone might do it to you too.
For InsideEdition.com, I'm Mara Montalbano.
So in that little video alone, talked about someone else praying for other people, and also the appreciation that that other people felt and the other appreciation that they gave back. It's a great way to show how we can appreciate people. If we go back to the story I started, we'd see Beth knew that I love her, no matter what. But she still thought she had to do things for me to get her to appreciate her. See, how many of us find ourselves grumbling around looking for appreciation or feeling unappreciated sometimes?
In terms of what we've done for appreciation.
But we should be looking for God to see how he appreciates us. Sometimes we look for validation of other people and what they do there, when God appreciates us no matter what. See, we should be looking for our appreciation through Jesus. He loves us. He cares for us. See, I'd even set up Beth's reward before she had even done whatever she wanted to do. Before she had even put the dishes away, her reward was set up for her. And that's what God does for us. Regardless of where we pack up dishes or regardless of anything else, God has set up the reward for us. God loves us and appreciation. So we have that opportunity to love and care for another as well. So let's just close in prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance there, Lord. Lord, when we are lacking that appreciation, when we are lacking that love, help us not to seek it from the people around us, but to seek it from you. God, you show us that even before we were born, that you knew us and you loved us. That even before we do anything good or bad, that you love us and care for us. Lord, let us know that we are appreciated by you. Lord, challenge us to appreciate others. The people around us, the people at our works, the people that go to church, the people that don't go to church. Challenge us to show appreciation like the appreciation that you have shown us. And Lord, let us take these thoughts into our week. That we can show appreciation to others, but mainly that we are appreciated. That you love us and care for us. I pray these things in your name. Amen.